Dada Madhava Konja Vihare. Jaya Radha Madhava Konja Vihare. Jaya Gopi Janavala Ba Grevara Rare Jaya Gopi Janavala Ba Grevara Rare Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Rajana Yamuna Tira Vanachare Yamuna Tira
made Yamayusu aware of the duration of life. Yatra Ubayam, if there are both behavior and auspiciousness. Kutra, somewhere. Cha, also. Saha, that person. Api, although. Amangalaha, a little inauspicious in some other detail. Sumangala, auspicious in every respect. Kascha, someone. Na, not. Kangshati, desires. He, indeed. One, me. Translation. Someone may have longevity but not have auspiciousness or good behavior. Someone may have both auspiciousness and good behavior, but the duration of his life is not fixed. Although such demigods as Lord Shiva have eternal life, they have inauspicious habits like living in a crematorium. And even if others are well qualified in all respects, they are not devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no purport. Next text. Evam bimrisya vyabhichari sadgunar varam nijai kasrayatayo gunashrayam vavre varam savagunar apekshitam rama mukundam nidipeksham ipshitam. Sukadeva Goswami continues. In this way, after full deliberation, the goddess of fortune accepted Mukunda as her husband, because although he is independent and not in want of her, he possesses all transcendental qualities and mystic powers, and is therefore the most desirable. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, is self-sufficient. Since he is fully independent, he is not in want of the support or association of Lakshmi Devi. Nonetheless, Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, accepted him as her husband. This is the pastime of the Lord, Leela. Leela means that the Lord is not bound by any karma, although it mentions in the Gita that he does work. He does not do work for the reason for which we work. We work to become free from our past karmic actions and reactions. But the Lord works only to show an example. He has no purpose to fulfill in terms of purification, because he is pavitram, or pure. He only acts for the benefit of others. And in fact, that is the nature of great souls, that they sacrifice for the sake of others. The human body is known as atada, which means that it can award so much benefit, and especially the benefit it awards is that it helps by serving others. So we have to see how Krishna is always transcendental, or how the Lord is always transcendental. Never is he to be seen in an ordinary way. When the goddess of fortune was to select her husband, she had the choice of so many others. That is the way in the Swayamvar ceremony. Just like in the case of Krishna's queens, some of them selected him. Their fathers made arrangement that so many good persons, qualified persons, would come and try to win the hand of their daughter. And in each case, the queen selected Krishna. So, in trying to compare the Lord with all others, certainly he is never equaled by anyone else. In the Gita, he says that no one is superior to me, no one is equal to me, everything is resting on me. Everything is coming from me, both material and spiritual. Since he is the origin of everything, how can anything be equal to him? Even great demigods, like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, are in fact subordinate to Krishna. One of the offenses against the holy name of the Lord is to consider anyone equal to him. We see there, for Ekalaya Shraddha Krishna, Arasavritta, Yadhe Yache Nachaya Se Taichi Kari Nritya. Krishna alone, Ekalaya Shraddha Krishna, Arasavritta. Krishna is the only supreme controller, and everyone else is his servant. They dance as he makes them dance. Even Lord Balaram, who is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is subordinate to Krishna. It is said that when Balaram would come before Krishna, his club would automatically offer its obeisances to the Lord. And Balaram himself likes to be the servant of Krishna in so many ways. So, what to speak of all the expansions and partial expansions, the energies and subordinate energies, everything is serving God. Therefore, when the Lord himself, Mukunda, was standing before the goddess of fortune, there was no question of any equal. Now, certainly this is Leela, because although it appears that they were not combined, in fact, they are always together. Just like in the time of creation, sometimes it is seen that Mahavishnu is lying on the ocean, or Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is lying on the ocean. Mahavishnu, we see pictures, he's lying there, and the planets or the universes are coming out of his body. Where's Lakshmi Devi? She's not in the picture, but actually she's within. His Shakti is within him, because he's always united with his energy. The Supreme Lord is one without a second, and he has nothing to do personally, nor does he have material senses. Still, no one is equal to him, and yet he is greater than, no one is equal, no one is greater than him, and he has unlimited potencies, which serve him in different ways. So, the potencies are not always visible. We can't always see all of the energies, but they're all within the Lord, because he's Shaktiman. He contains all these energies. So the goddess of fortune who selected him is his pleasure potency. And actually they are always together. Just like Radha and Krishna are always together. Sometimes in some Puranas they describe the meaning of the of Srimati Radharani and Krishna, or any expansion. But this is all called Leela. Purva Rag. Purva Rag means that the emotion or feeling at meeting for the first time. This is the nature of the spiritual world, that everything is ever fresh. And so one feels at the start of day that one is seeing the Lord for the first time. When Mother Yasoda comes into Krishna's bedroom to wake him, it's as if she is seeing him for the first time. When the cowherd boys come to pick up Krishna for milking the cows and then later on for going to the pastures, it's as if it is the first time. And especially when Srimati Radharani sees Krishna in the early morning as she is coming from Jagat, her mother-in-law's home, to cook for Krishna at Nandagram, and Krishna has gone out to milk the cows and is standing nearby. When they see each other, it is as if they have never seen before, and it is as if the first time. Similarly, when the goddess of fortune
came from the ocean of milk, being churned from that ocean of milk. And she saw Mukunda, it was as if they had seen each other for the first time, but actually they're always together. And they can never be with anyone else. When the goddess of fortune appears to be touched, for example, in Ramayana, by Ravana, we know that he cannot touch the goddess of fortune, because she can only be touched by the Lord. She is his own potency, Svashakti. No one else can touch her. And if anyone appears to be doing so, then it is only her mayic manifestation or representation. Just like we know that Ravana held the Maya Sita, the Sita that was created by Maya, the illusory energy of the Lord. Otherwise, only Sri Ramchandra can embrace the goddess of fortune, Sita Devi. So, what is the idea now behind this verse? The idea is that no one is a better devotee than the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. She, as it's described here, many persons were churned out of that ocean, but she was the best of all. Why is she the best of all? Because she is the best servitor of the Lord. She is the best because she possesses the most devotion. This is how we qualify someone. As it is mentioned here, first of all, in trying to decide about who is the Supreme Lord, so many persons are qualified in different ways, up to the point of Lord Shiva. But even he, it says, has got some inauspiciousness. Although he's known as Shiva, which means he's all auspicious, still sometimes he may be criticized that he lives in the, where? Around crematoriums. Why does he live around crematoriums? Yeah, so no one would bother him. Just like the example of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, why did he do his nam bhajan, his chanting of japa, in the place where people pass stool? So nobody would disturb him, because it was such an unclean place. In any case, actually Lord Shiva has no disqualification, and we should understand that he is the Supreme Lord in the form of the, sometimes he's called Tamasi, because he has contact with the material energy. Therefore, he's like milk which is touched by a souring agent. There is some distinction between Shiva and the Lord. But still, he's so great. But yet, compared to the Lord, he cannot be equal. Krishna is still, and Narayana is still superior. Now, how do we decide in terms of devotees? We have to see their exclusive devotion, their unalloyed devotion. And this is how we distinguish the best of the best of the best of the best. Srila Sanatana Goswami has given us Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And it is such a nice book, which gradually everyone should hear. So nice. And what is that story? How Narad Muni is trying to decide, to determine who is the best of the devotees of the Lord. And he goes everywhere. He goes, you know, through this world, and sees all the great devotees in the planetary systems. Then he travels into the spiritual world, you know, and he meets the best of devotees there. He meets Prahlad Maharaj. He meets Hanuman. He meets the Pandavas. He meets the Dwarkavasis, headed by Sri Uddhava. And on, each time he feels, you are, must be the best. But then when they say, I'm not the best, I say, I'm very unfortunate. Just like Prahlad Maharaj says, how can you say I'm the best? If I'm the best, then why is it that after giving me a moment's darshan, Lord Nisringadev left? I say, I'm very unfortunate. Because it's very clear that in no way am I fortunate. Because Lord Nisringadev gave me a moment's association. If you want to see someone who's a great devotee, you go to see Hanuman. Because he could serve the Lord in so many ways. For thousands of years he served the Lord. So Narada goes off to Hanuman, and Hanuman says, I'm very unfortunate. He said, do you think that I'm a great devotee? He said, look at me, I've been left here. Lord Ramchandra has gone back to a yogi and he's left me here, and I'm all by myself in this forest, simply worshipping the deity, but I can't be with him, and I'm cursed with this monkey body, which prevents me from doing so many things I would like to do. He said, if you really want to meet a devotee, you go to see the Pandavas. So Narada goes off and sees the Pandavas. But the Pandavas said that, you know, Krishna neglects us. He prefers to live in Dwarka. In so many ways, we were not qualified to have his association, and we had to constantly be separated from him. If you really want to see who's fortunate, you go to Dwarka, because the Lord is living all the time in Dwarka. Everyone knows that Krishna lived in Dwarka for 90 years, even on this planet. Out of 125 years, he stayed more than 90 years in Dwarka. So go to Dwarka, and you'll get so much, you know, benefit by meeting the Dwarkavasis, all of the Yadus. So he goes there, and he's, because there, Krishna's always there. But when he meets Uddhava, and then some of the queens of Krishna come in, you know, they're all, they, first of all, he can't even find Krishna. Where is Krishna? And the queens report he's in the bedroom and he won't come out. He won't come out. Why? He's very unhappy. You know, everybody was waiting for Krishna in the assembly and Krishna wouldn't come out. Why is he unhappy? Because he's simply remembering Vrindavan. He doesn't have any interest in what is going on here. His mind is always going off to Vrindavan. His queens always complain. We cannot keep him at all attracted. Although he stays in the house and he appears to be henpecked, in actuality his mind is elsewhere. If you really want to see who are devotees, you have to go to Vrindavan. So in this way, Narada Muni can understand that the Vrindavan devotees are the topmost because they have succeeded in capturing Krishna's heart. So this is explained. Naham tishtami vaikante yoginam hridayeshu va tata tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. These are the best devotees, Narada. Who are they? Those persons who always chant the glories, my glories. And what kind of chanting? The kind of chanting that the devotees of Vrindavan are doing. Very special type of chanting. How they chant Krishna's name. And how Krishna chants their glories. Krishna's flute. What comes out of the sound of Krishna's flute? The names of his devotees. When he plays upon his flute, he calls his cows, and the sounds of the names of his cows come out from the flute. When he plays his flute, the sounds of the names of his friends come out from the flute. And when he plays his flute, the sounds of the names of all the gopis come out from the flute. And each one feels Krishna is playing his flute just to call me. So Krishna is captured totally by these devotees of Vrindavan, and they are completely captivated by him. So, what is the point in this verse? That as the goddess of fortune selected Mukunda, so should we. That's the point. If she is the most qualified of all of those who were produced from the ocean of milk, that she rose out of the ocean of milk as the best of all the creations of the ocean of milk, what does she do? What is the essence of what she does? She selects Mukunda, Krishna. So we are told by this verse that we should also select Mukunda. How? Not just in principle or not just in name, but in fact, in actuality, as she does. As she is so attentive in serving him, so we have to be so attentive in serving him. Without any compromise, without any deviation, without any pause, as it is mentioned, that it is without, you know, pause or interruption. We have to serve the Lord and learn and train ourselves to serve the Lord in this way. And therefore, so many obstacles are put in our way. And these obstacles, Sri Kunti Devi says, are great mercy of the Lord. With great mercy of the Lord. Because these test us, train us, make us strive harder. Not that we say, oh, curse it, curse it. cursed obstacles. I said, no, because we're not qualified yet. Actually, even in the most qualified persons, you see, like the bridge bhasis, they also get obstacles. What is the obstacle for the gopis? The rising sun. And the rising sun is the good fortune for Mother Yasoda. But then as the sun rises, it becomes an obstacle because Krishna says, now it's time to go out. Everyone has got some reason why it's difficult to attain Krishna. Why? To increase our devotion. Even in the spiritual world, still those obstacles will be there, but it will be of a different sort. And our ability to deal with them will certainly be of a different caliber. But we should understand that so many troubles come, but these troubles are just to make our bhakti stronger. Everything that happens to a devotee is arranged by Krishna. It's not under the control of Maya. When you take up devotional life seriously, then what happens is by arrangement of Krishna. Sometimes devotees ask, how do we know if it's Krishna's arrangement or Maya's arrangement? It depends upon your sincerity. If you're very sincere, it's Krishna's arrangement. If you're not very sincere, it's Maya's arrangement. As far as what that thing is that you're dealing with, it is Maya in this world. But how you deal with it is a whole other thing. We have to learn, Prabhupada said, to catch the fish without getting wet. You have to learn how to separate the milk from the water, like a swan. In other words, so many things will be thrown up before you. And you have to be able to always refuse Maya and accept Krishna only. Like Arjuna. You know, when all the Pandavas and the Kauravas were being trained by Dronacharya in archery, what do you see? What do you see? I see, you know, a bird in a tree. I see, you know, they were all seeing different things. And when he asked Arjuna, what do you see? He said, I see the eye of the bird. I don't see anything else. Ekeha Kurunandana, one-pointed. And this is how we can become successful in our bhakti. As long as our intelligence is many-branched, splayed out on many different goals and many different motives, and what we think are many different important things, we cannot become successful. Neither what we are trying to accomplish will succeed, nor will our bhakti actually become fruitful. The whole point is one-pointed determination. One-pointed determination. Now one may say, but we have so many things to do. I have to, you know, if you're a householder, I have my husband or my wife, my children to look after. I might have a job or some service to do. I have to do my sadhana. Even for those who are sannyasis or brahmacharis, we have so many different responsibilities, service. How can you say that it should be one-pointed? Yet it is one-pointed. No matter how many different things there are, the whole thing is one-pointed. And what is that one point? The pleasure of Guru. The satisfaction of the spiritual master. That's the essence of spiritual life. Because all the services that we get are being offered to us by our spiritual master. So his satisfaction is the yardstick. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nakatir katav. When we see that he's satisfied, what is the meaning of his being satisfied? Not for anything selfish. When he sees that our bhakti is pure, then we can know that Krishna is pleased with us. So all the different things that we're assigned ultimately come on this one point, that am I able to see everything in terms of the pleasure, the satisfaction, the order of Guru. Everything has to be consolidated in terms of all the different instructions. They come to one point. What is the one point? What is the satisfaction of the Guru? What is the purpose of having Guru? By the grace of Guru, one gets Krishna. All the rules, all the regulations of scripture, they come on one rule. Always remember Krishna, never forget him for a single moment. When we say to meditate to satisfy Guru, what does it mean? It means that the satisfaction of the spiritual master is that I'm always trying to see how Krishna can be pleased. Always remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna. There are not many different things. So, we take care of, we try to avoid entanglement in all fruit of activity, all types of mental speculation, and we simply try to perform bhakti purely, and not to become distracted from the service. As Lakshmi Devi was seeing so many other suitors, so many other possible persons, you see, just like we get so many different presentations before us, as she had to make a choice. You want this person? You want this person? Look, he can offer you this, he can offer you this, he can offer you this. She said, I want Mukunda, Krishna. So you get this also. So many different presentations. You know? Nadanamna janamna sundarim kavitam vajagadishitam yevama janmani janmani ashram bhavatat bhakti rohoituki twayi. I want a vaikuki bhakti. Nadanam na janam na sundarim. I don't want all other material advantages. So don't be foolish. In any circumstance, don't be foolish. Whatever you may be, a man, a woman, a brahmachari, a brahmacharini, a grihastha, a vanaprastha, or a sannyasi, there is only one goal. That's a hoituki bhakti. Nothing else. So nothing else. Not that, oh, now I am a brahmachari, or now I am a grihastha. When I get later on, I will gradually reduce to only that. No. You'll never come to only that. As long as you say that, as long as you keep saying in the future, it will always remain in the future. There's no such thing. Ashram. Brahmachari ashram, grihastha ashram, vanaprastha ashram, sannyasa ashram. Ashram means where Krishna resides. It's where Krishna resides, and we are all Krishna Das or Krishna Dasi. There's no ashram which is more or less advantageous. Krishna is in all the ashrams. It is only a question of how you focus and serve him nicely. So, we should see the example here of the goddess of fortune and follow her footsteps, that she has passed all others and simply taken exclusive shelter of the Lord. So we'll stop here and ask if anyone has any questions or comments. Sarvabhauma. The goddess of fortune was not seeking a perfect situation. She was seeking the perfect person. Her mood was, I don't care where the situation is, I want him. In other words, her devotion is not based, our point is this, that under all circumstances, wherever Krishna is, that is where I want to be. As Lord Shiva says to Parvati, who's also a goddess of fortune, that Narayana Parasarvena tu kuchasyavna divite sarga pavarga nadakesha pitulyata darshana. Do you see how a Vaishnava is? Whether a Vaishnava is sent to heaven or hell is the same. That's why we don't mind being in Texas. You see, people say, oh, you're so unfortunate. It's much better to preach on the East Coast. I say, you go to the East Coast. I want to stay here. I'm so glad that Krishna put me here. You go to the East Coast and preach. I want to preach here. I'm so glad that Krishna put me here. I'm so happy for it. Because I see that so much more surrender will come by my having to stay in this difficult circumstance. And so many facilities are there all over America. So many good opportunities. But still, this project developed better physically than any other project. Although there's more money in other places, there's more people to join in other places, Everything is better in other places, but somehow this place developed better, starting out from a more difficult circumstance. That means the same thing can be true regarding making devotees. Even though every other place is better to make devotees, more devotees can join here if our devotion is strong. And we should not become deviated on the point, that place is better, that place is better, the grass is greener. I never heard Prabhupada speak like this. Prabhupada told me to go to China. That was the most godless place. But I don't think that he sent a person to a useless place. One time my godbrother said something to me. I came back from Hong Kong. Everybody says Hong Kong is hell. Anybody who's gone there says that place is hellish. It's the most difficult place to make devotees. So I went to this place and I was speaking in this devotee, in this temple. And my God, they asked, please tell us how Hong Kong is. And I said, so nice place, very, very good place. And I spoke very highly about Hong Kong. And then my godbrother said, this is a preacher. He doesn't ever complain about the preaching field. But wherever he goes, he thinks there's good opportunities to spread Krishna consciousness. A good musician doesn't blame the instrument. A good cook doesn't blame the pots. A good dancer doesn't blame the floor. And a good preacher doesn't blame the field. That's not Charanaka Pandit. It's a mild pundit. So, we should not, you know, think circumstance. Circumstance is not the issue. Bhakti is the issue. If the bhakti is pure, then Krishna will do the rest. And even if there's no results, still Krishna will be pleased and will be satisfied. That's up to Krishna. That is what the Bhagavad Gita says. It's your business to do your duty. The result you leave to Krishna. So wherever Krishna places us, we do our duty. And maybe Krishna wants to show. The better example, if you do very good and make lots of devotees on the East Coast, everybody will say, well, it was the East Coast. But if you do it here, then everybody will say, now there is no excuse for us. So maybe that's why Krishna made this arrangement. That we should succeed in the most difficult place, so then everybody will say, now we have no excuse. If they can make flowers grow in a desert, you say, then what to speak of where it's good weather and nice place. This is a desert. This is the most godless, nasty place. Only snakes, scorpions, and things like cactus are here. But if we make a very, you know, oasis, a beautiful place, like they advertise it, oasis of love. There's one Christian preacher has got his billboard, oasis of love. So we will make oasis of Krishna consciousness in a desert. And then we can, you know, then people will take more. They'll say, this is more astonishing. That's why Krishna places the devotees in the most difficult circumstances. Always. Because then the devotion that is performed under difficulty is more outstanding and more important. It stands out greater. The more difficult the test, you see, the better Krishna's whole principle of bhakti can be demonstrated when the test is more difficult. If it's easy, no one will see or learn anything from it. And your own bhakti won't be tried and tested more. So we should not, you know, look, we should not always think, oh, the circumstances, let me go where the grass is greener. Make the grass green. Don't go where the grass is greener, make the grass green. By Krishna will make the grass green. You simply try to increase your devotion. And everything else will come. Otherwise, you can be in the best of circumstances and be completely in Maya. Or you could be in the worst circumstances and be in Krishna consciousness. Circumstances are external. Another question or comment? Yes. No, that's right. Prabhupada said a preacher can take the best preaching field, that's quite all right, but he had to start the movement. And then he sent people everywhere. So some people were sent here. Prabhupada installed this deity. He made his gurukul here. He came here himself personally. He didn't just stay in New York. He wanted to spread to all different places. So he came here also. Krishna led Prabhupada to New York. So, what can we say? If Krishna leads you away from here into another place, very good. But Krishna led me here. I can see that. I cannot deny that. So each person has to determine where Krishna is leading them. But circumstances are not the issue, ultimately. You look just like the circumstances, external circumstances cannot be judged. You go to Mayapur, what is Navadvip Mayapur? From external appearance, it's a Ganges Delta, but we see there's a whole spiritual world there. Lord Chaitanya went to Vrindavan, what did he see? Simply fields. But there he said, that's Radhakund, that's Shyamakund, this is this, this is this. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was in Mayapur, he said, there's Radhakund, there's Govardhan. So by the power of a devotee, a dham can be manifest. And didn't it happen? You can see how Prabhupada went, just like he went to New Vrindavan and said, this is New Vrindavan. Now it is a dham. By the vision of a pure devotee, becomes a dham. Now why do we say Radhakala Chanji Dham? What does it mean? It's a spiritual place, spiritual world. I don't think that Prabhupada put such a powerful deity in a useless place. He gave this deity to this city to protect the children and everyone else. So far as, going here and there, yes, then everyone can do that if they like. Prabhupada had 10 years to preach. He had to pick the most perfect place. By which to start everything. Our job is slightly different than what Prabhupada's job is in that regard. We're not starting the Hare Krishna movement as he did from nothing. Now the Hare Krishna movement is manifest in so many places. So, some people may do like that. At least, that is not my attitude. I didn't learn that attitude from Prabhupada. I saw Prabhupada, we went to Gorakhpur, useless place, in the middle of UP, Uttar Pradesh, you know. The Prabhupada sat there for 1 month trying to establish Krishna consciousness there, seeing, is this Krishna's desire? Of course, it doesn't mean that we're foolish, that we go to absolutely, you know, but there's a reason for being here. This deity was placed here. That, to me, is enough reason. I have faith that this deity came here, Prabhupada put him here, and he has business to conduct here. And I simply feel that we should surrender unto him, and let him use us as tools. I don't consider where's the best preaching field. I can simply consider that Prabhupada put this deity here and I'm his servant. Now please use me. So I don't go into what is better. Well, I think you should have been in this place or that place. At least that will not help me in my devotion to think that way. Oh, I'll forget China because it's so difficult. Now I'll go to Russia because it's much better facilities. Preacher goes where Krishna sends him, Guru sends him. Krishna and Guru send someone one place and they send someone else another place. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you have to do your duty. Not another person's duty. So everybody should know what their duty is on the basis of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So you try to understand what your duty is. Each of us should try to understand what his or her duty is. But once you understand what it is, you should be fixed and not be deviated constantly on the mental platform thinking, well, maybe I should have done this, or maybe I should have done that. Maybe. I don't think Arjuna was, you know, Arjuna was on the mental platform. And therefore, what happened to him? His bow and arrow slipped out of his hands. But Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to get Arjuna off the mental platform. When Arjuna came off the mental platform, then he did his business. And he won the war. So as long as we're going to be tossed around, you know, like the wind tossing around a cotton swab, as long as the mind gets tossed around, well, maybe this, maybe that, maybe I should, you get nowhere. Make up your mind and do it. That's how you do book distribution. You don't get on a mental platform when you're doing book distribution. You just go out and know that my guru has ordered me to give out these books. And these books are what everybody needs. And every single person out here is a spirit soul, and they all need these books. And I'm going to approach everyone. And nothing is going to deter me. And whoever I meet, I'm going to say to them, please take this book. And I pray to my guru, I pray to the Vaishnavas, pray to Srila Prabhupada, pray to all the acharyas, please help me to be able to distribute these books. And you don't get on the mental platform. Why isn't anyone taking the books? It's too hot out here. This is not a good city to distribute in. You know, the airport closed. I don't like this. All mental platform. And then when you chant japa, you're still on the mental platform. If you're on the mental platform in your service, you'll be on the mental platform when you're chanting japa. There's not, you can't make a distinction between japa and the devotional service. They're all on the absolute platform. So if you can't fix your mind and steady your mind in your service, how will you steady your mind in your japa? Why do you think you're getting that service? When we went to Bombay, Prabhupada said, now, he said, we have to do something in each of these cities, Bombay, Calcutta, Delhi. He said, otherwise people will say that we came, we sang, we danced, and we went away. So he said, we have to build temples. So I said, but if we build temples, it will take so much, you know, effort, etc., etc. And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, actually, our goal is simply to go to Mayapur and chant 24 hours a day, but we can't do it. So therefore, I'm engaging you in building these big temples to give you the opportunity to apply all your energy in Krishna's service. Then when you sit and chant japa, it'll be fixed. But if you can't steady yourself and fix yourself in your service, when you sit and chant japa, your mind goes everywhere. It wanders. Just like a person who works very hard, at night when he lays down to sleep, boom, 30 seconds he's out. Because all his energy has been used up during the day. So he's fixed and sleeping. Now we have to be fixed in, you know, fixed in japa. Fixed in sadhana means fixed in service. You can't be fixed in sadhana and not fixed in your service. The service is part of sadhana. It's archana. All practically, most, so much of what we do is archana. This temple construction is considered archana. The deity worship is archana. Cleaning the floor of the hall is all archana. It's a deity's property. It's all deity worship. Book distribution is shravanam kirtanam. This is all navabhakti. Sadhana doesn't mean only when you're in the temple room. The whole day is sadhana. We're sadhakas. Everything we do is sadhana. Alright, time has run out. 8:30. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Sri Sri Radhakala Chanchi ki. Bhakta Vrinda ki. Bhakta Vrinda ki. Bhakta Vrinda ki.